Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. It's the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Let me just give you a behind the scenes. Typically, I'm not sure what the amount of time is, but typically there's an amount of time that I need to have prepared for the show in whatever ways I prepare for the show to feel just totally comfortable and confident with what I have at my disposal for the night. I don't know if it's 45 minutes or 3 hours or what it is. I know when I reach it. And I'm usually able to get that done. I was not able to get that done today. I was so busy, I didn't even get to take a shower today. Okay, and I'm like a shower every day guy. I try to be a shower every day guy. But I was incredibly busy. Well, first of all, I went to go see Thunderbolts, so that's why I was busy. And the movie's great. Oh, MCU is so back. So I'm very excited about that. And then I get home, and I have a little bit of time to get things done. And my wife's home, and my mother-in-law is here for the week. So it's like, totally, I get time to do stuff. I get time. I don't have to prepare the show while watching my kid. You know, I can dig into the show. And we see one of his little buddies outside our front window. And so we open the window, and we say hi. And he's like, I'm going to the art fair. And my kid's like, Daddy, I want to go to the art fair. I'm so excited. I'm like, the what? What? The art fair that I haven't told you about at all that apparently the school's been promoting for weeks. So now I got to go to the art fair. So that was a whole thing. I get to the art fair, and immediately when you walk in the front of the school, there's this giant mural of about 20 drawings of like drawings that have been picked out from different kids throughout the class. And my kid's got one of his drawings on there. I say, why didn't you tell Daddy that you had a special drawing on there? I don't know. Okay. I mean, I got to teach this kid to be proud of himself. Man, son, your dad's on the radio trying to talk himself up every night for just being able to complete sentences and go in and out of breaks. I mean, you got to find your little chance. You got to find your little... See, I can't even... That's why. You got to find your little things to champion. And if you're on the front of the art board in the school, you got to find that to champion. So, should be fine, though. We got a good Bartometer tonight. Fun with audio. Bartometer is going to look at the 8 most crazy moments, I think is how we'll frame it, in the draft. And we'll kind of go in the TV era. We'll use my lifetime as a benchmark. We'll use 1984. So we'll go back a little bit, but crazy things that have happened in the draft. I'm not sure we actually have, let me see, maybe the last 30 years, whatever. Maybe I'm leaving something off. Like the John Elway's not on there. Sorry. That I can tell you. I didn't plug that into the Bartometer. But we'll have some crazy moments, and really it's a fun exercise to see just how crazy the Shedeur Sanders drop was. Because it wasn't just like, oh, Brady Quinn didn't get taken as high as we thought he would. Oh, Darius Haywood Bey got taken over Michael Crabtree. No, it was Kyle Brady got taken over Warren Sapp. No, Shedeur didn't get taken until the 5th round. So that's pretty insane. We'll see what the Bartometer has to say about that. We've got some NBA to talk about, Knicks and Pistons. Right now there's 5 minutes left. Pistons are up 105 to 103. For the most part, this has felt like a series where the Knicks are the veterans, the Pistons are up and coming. It's a competitive series. It's a 6-game series where the Knicks get scared a little bit and all their fans get to be crazy and you get to do the Fire Thibodeau thing and you get all that, but at the end of the day, it wasn't enough for Detroit. and the Knicks the better team. Well, right now, Detroit's leading with 5 minutes to go, and it's in Detroit. So Knicks have had a lead for most of it. Detroit will come back. Knicks kind of extend. But we do have a two-point game with the Pistons having the advantage with 5:13 to go. So could be a very interesting night. Either the Knicks are going forward or the Pistons have forced a game seven. Looking forward to seeing how that one is going to play out. Elsewhere, then, we have the Clippers and the Nuggets tonight, which will tip off pretty soon after this one. And then we have in the NBA, I think just the one game tomorrow. We just have the one game tomorrow between the Rockets and the Warriors. Warriors looking to get game six at home. Otherwise, they're going to have to go on the road again to Houston. Phone number to reach us, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. A lot of people still trying to figure out what exactly happened to the Lakers last night as they lose to the Timberwolves 103-96. And that was game five of the series, and the Timberwolves had already won three games in the series. So that was all she wrote. That was the series. Lakers bounce out again. LeBron James 2-12 in his last 14 games in the playoffs. And a lot of questions about what is going to happen moving forward. I don't think this is a Nico Harrison victory lap. The Lakers got farther than the Mavericks, first of all. I mean, one of your players was at this game as a fan, Kyrie Irving with courtside seats. I think that the Lakers got Luka Doncic midseason. They tried to get a big. They didn't like medically the big that they had tried to get. They move forward. Now, I still am not excusing the defensive struggles. I don't even want to say struggles, because struggles implies that there was some level of effort and you just weren't good at it. The defensive struggles for Luka Doncic, he barely even tried some of these plays defensively, which is what Nico Harrison's been trying to tell all of us, which I don't think anybody's fought him too much. On that, the fight is, how do you trade a guy that's still very moldable at the age of 25 for this brief little window with two guys that are aging and injured? Between Kyrie Irving, who they had, and then Anthony Davis, who they traded for. Now, would the Lakers have won this series if they had Anthony Davis instead of Luka? I think that's a fun hypothetical. I don't know that it matters. And I don't know that they would. I don't know that they would have. The Minnesota Timberwolves, I think Chris Finch had a lot of good stuff to say about how teams need to figure it out. And this team, for the longest time, we did not have it figured out. But now we have it figured out. And so now we can be dangerous, every bit as dangerous as we were essentially the year we had last year before we lost to Luka and the Mavericks. And what a great redemption tour for Rudy Gobert to have 27 points, 24 boards against Luka, who they had their battles with a season ago. I think, yeah, Luka, LeBron, the fit, need a big, defensive issues. There's a lot there. I do think the biggest culprit in this is probably J.J. Redick. J.J. Redick in game four, not making a single substitution in the second half. J.J. Redick in game five, playing Maxi Kleba, who had not played for the Lakers at all. He came over in the Luka trade. They tried him, pretty much playing without a center the entire series, asking LeBron to do that. J.J. Redick, who had, prior to the game, ended his press conference early, storming off, didn't like a question about, hey, are you leaning on your assistants? Do you understand you have them? J.J. Redick on the season-ending loss.
I think our guys played hard enough and did all the right things. We tried to make it work with what we had and came up a little short.
Redick talked about the future, not only for the team, but also himself and what he can do to be better going forward.
I'll use my own thoughts to evaluate myself, and I'll use what my players say and what my coaching staff says to evaluate. But, you know, I know I can be better, and I know I will get better. I don't necessarily take any satisfaction from how the year went. That's not to say I'm not proud of what the group was able to do and how we were able to figure things out on the fly and put ourselves in a position to have home court in the first round. But there's always ways to get better, and I can get a lot better.
It just seemed like there was a little bit of not only maybe poor decision making, but a little bit of immaturity as well from J.J. Redick. And I think that J.J. Redick, you know, I'm not looking at him from a, hey, you're not a mature guy. I'm looking at him in this standpoint. And I can take this from experience, and I think a lot of people can, is that when you are in a certain position and then you get thrust into a position with a little more spotlight and you're maybe questioned, like as an unknown, you tend to act a different way. You tend to act a different way. When I first started my morning show in Milwaukee, I had been a producer role for a bunch of different things and a guest host and whatever. But then to finally, you know, to have your name on a show, you're like, okay, I have a lot to meet up to right now. If I were me now going back then to do those shows, they would sound different. A lot of those shows are me trying to rustle some feathers and make some name for myself and rock the boat a little bit. That's what I tried to do then. I don't know, looking back, that I would do that now. Taking over this show, I slow played you guys for about a year and a quarter before I started being my more aggressive jerk self. So that's what I learned from my experience. And I think JJ's kind of the same way, where, you know, there was clearly some times where the moment was too big for him. And he can self-evaluate or have somebody else tell you that, but he did seem like he was feeling like he was not on equal footing to not just coaches that he was matched up against, not just Chris Finch, but any other coach in the playoffs right now. Now, one of the quotes that's getting a lot of play that J.J. Redick had to say was not about him, but about his players, and we're all thinking it's about one particular guy. He says that this team, the Lakers, need to get in championship shape.
We have a ways to go as a roster, and certainly there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape. There's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. That's where my mind goes immediately is, you know, we have to get in championship shape.
Now, we're all thinking of Luka Doncic. We're all thinking that right away. And I think Luka had a lot of good things to say last night, too, about, look, I came here, I need to get chemistry on the court with these guys. I need to get more chemistry with LeBron and Austin Reeves, should he still be there next year. There's some trades they can explore. We'll get into that in a moment. But I need to get in better. I need to have better chemistry with those guys. And for Luka, like, this was a lot. He did not think he would be playing in the postseason for the Los Angeles Lakers this year. He thought he was going to be a Dallas Maverick potentially for life. And so there's a lot that he had to deal with in his personal life, his professional life. He played his old team twice on games that were heavily scrutinized. And then you get thrust into a playoff situation where the roster wasn't really complete. LeBron James mentioning that a bit. when they asked him, hey, LeBron, so you had Anthony Davis, even though he didn't like to play center, that's where he should be playing. You didn't have a center, though, since you traded for Luka. Would you like to see some improvement there going forward?
No comment. I'll never say that because my guy AD said what he needed, and then he was gone the following week. So I got no comment. I put that uniform on every night. I gave everything I had, and that's all that matters.
No comment with a little bit of a comment. And I don't think he was saying that the Anthony Davis for Luka trade was a bad trade. I think what he's saying is, I'm not here to make the roster. And I don't want to start questioning how it's built. We saw what happened with Anthony Davis. I thought it was more in jest than anything else. But they do need another big man on this team. They need a big man, period, on this team. And that will be a target of their offseason for sure. I don't think... And maybe we got swept up in it because Luka and LeBron on the same team, no matter the age of LeBron, he's 40 and still playing great. I don't think that we should have gotten swept up in thinking, hey, this team can make a finals run. I think for them to try to gel, and it's clear that they're not a complete team. You know, they got good pieces, but they got two superstars, but they're not a complete team. Maybe they advance to the next series. I don't know how they would continue to advance, you know, moving forward. Had they won, they would take on the winner of Houston and Golden State. You know, do they win that series? And then I didn't see them. I didn't see them coming out of the West, but we did kind of talk ourselves into it being possible. We should not have. Not only are they not a complete team, I buy into what Luke is saying is that we need a little bit of time, and he's excited for the practices and to try to find that chemistry. And if his coach is giving a shot at him to get in better shape, we'll see how that is received. I thought it was interesting, too. He got a question, but I didn't really feel like, and I don't feel like, when LeBron answers about his future, that he's hinting at retirement. He's got another year under contract. It's a player option. What they've been doing is renegotiating, so he'll probably get another one-in-one deal unless he miraculously wants to play somewhere else. I see him coming back. I see him being a part of the Lakers' future, and I don't see him retiring anytime soon. I do think he will probably retire before his body needs it to retire because the level that LeBron's playing and the way he conditions and the way he works, I think that he can play at this level, or at least at top. I mean, I don't know how far down I want to go, but where is he right now? Some nights top 5, top 10, top 15, top 20. He can't be any lower than a top 20 player overall in the NBA right now, can he? At the age of 40? So where is he at 45? I mean, down to 60, unless he falls off a cliff. He's still going to be LeBron James for a while. But he was asked the question, and so he gave the answer.
I don't know. I don't have an answer to that. Something I sit down with my family, my wife, and my support group, and kind of just talk through it and see what happens. And then just have a conversation with myself on how long I want to continue to play.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Again, I do not believe that LeBron James will not be on the NBA court next season. Also talked a little bit about how special it was to play with his kid. I think we made fun of that a lot, or you did. I was very adamant that it was a great father move. And really, again, I'll say it again, it's a testament to LeBron that he can be this old and still this good. You know, some of these guys, if they're 40 years old and they have a kid that can play in the league, they're like, hey, let's have the kid on our team. And they'd be like, you're lucky you're on the team. We're not. I mean, he would take your spot. You're 40 years old, but LeBron's still good enough at this point that a team would acquiesce to that. And he has been doing well in the G League. People do forget. So Lakers out, Timberwolves moving on. I do understand for Timberwolves fans, there's been a lot of talk about the Lakers. That's just how it goes.
not just because it's the Lakers, but typically when a team gets eliminated, there's a lot more looking into their future, just like with the Bucks and the Pacers. There's a lot more looking into Giannis' future than there is the Pacers' chances against the Cavs. Although the Pacers getting in the headlines because John Halliburton is out of control. I don't believe he will be able to attend any more games, or at least he says he's going to stay away. John Halliburton will not be attending games moving forward. It was a decision made by the team's front office. And John Halliburton said, okay. I don't know that we need to kick him out of the games necessarily. If he wants to watch his son play, I'm not against that. Just don't be on the court after the game and probably don't sit baseline and probably don't let him sit in the first five rows or maybe even the lower level or, you know, maybe this, like, stick him in a booth, even a box. Reward him for his bad behavior. Just keep him away from the floor. There's a game winding down here between the Knicks and the Pistons. Karl Anthony Towns has fouled out. 49.8 to go. Pistons up one at the free throw line. We'll find out what happens there. Either Detroit has forced a game seven or the Knicks are moving on. 888-710-4ISN. Stick around. It's the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. I am Bart Winkler. Portion of the show brought to you by Hyundai. The Hyundai Getaway sales event is going on now. Get deals so right, it almost feels wrong, but don't wait. Visit your local Hyundai dealer today. So we're waiting for this Knicks-Pistons game to come to a close. Jalen Brunson, with 4.3 seconds left on the clock, has just hit a massive three. So the Knicks are up 116 to 113. And I'm watching the game, and this, I got to figure out a better way here because I'm 35 seconds behind Carlos. Is it over yet?
No, it's not, and you sure are behind me. I'm over here reacting in real time, and you know, for everybody listening at home, Bart is going, what happened? Tell me.
Well, why weren't you telling me?
Because I went outside to yell with the guys real quick, and then I came back in here.
Oh, you had to go yell with the guys. I'm sitting here hanging on a stream. I got to get, like, a TV set up in here.
Yeah, and get cable while you're at it.
I have cable. I have cable. I just can't get it in this room right now. So, did they inbound the pass? Can you just do the play-by-play?
It is
really
final. The New York Knicks will advance. Detroit Pistons have been eliminated. Sorry, Greg. Final score of 116 to 113. Congratulations to Detroit. It was a heck of a season despite, you know, this loss going to hurt because you had it. But, you know, nothing to be ashamed of. You got a big fight to the Knicks. And the Knicks will go on, and they'll get smacked by Boston probably in five.
All right, and it has just gone final for me.
Welcome to the present.
Yeah. Cunningham tried to find an open Malik Beasley, and he was open. Would have knocked down the three, or at least had an attempt, but it went through his hands, a la Gary Trent the other night for the Bucks. This felt like a game that the Pistons looked like they were going to win it. 116-113, the final. For most of the game, it felt like the Knicks were going to win. And then coming down the stretch here, Detroit got it up to 112-105 with a Hardaway jumper with 2:35. And then they only scored 1 point the rest of the way. Wow. Yeah, Jalen Duren had a chance at two free throws, and he made one that wouldn't have done enough because they still made the shot. I think the big exchange there was Brunson missed a 13-footer, and then Mikal Bridges was right there with the tip. That was 35 seconds left. But yeah, Detroit. So Milwaukee had a 7-point lead the other night with 37 seconds to go. Detroit had a 7-point lead with 2:35 to go. So, you know, a whole two more minutes. But it started to feel like they could win this game. As I was watching the game, it seemed like the Knicks were going to win most of the time.
And that would go to form with what this series was most likely going to be. A series where the better team won, but Detroit is good enough to give the Knicks a real fight and a real scare, which they did. Enough of a scare that Knicks fans could start to, you know, kind of get upset and freak out a little bit and get the, you know, fan base to kind of rally around firing Thibodeau. And we still may get to that point again once we see them against the Celtics. But then it really did look like Detroit was going to win. And then they didn't. So we know what the playoffs are going to be in the second round in the East. We have the Celtics and the Knicks, 2-3. We have the Cavs and the Pacers, 1-4. I think it's more likely that the Knicks knock off the Celtics than the Pacers knock off the Cavs. The Knicks kind of feel like the Pistons to the Celtics feeling like the Knicks to me. I'm not saying they can't do it. I would like them to do it. But we'll see. In the West, we've got the Thunder, who are going to play the winner of the Clippers-Nuggets series. We could know who that is by tonight. Nuggets have a 3-2 lead. That game just getting underway. And the Game 6 between the Rockets and Warriors for the right to play the 6-seeded Timberwolves will be held tomorrow. Everybody going crazy on your end. Marco Belletti, one of those guys. What are the gut reactions before you get into your update, which I assume is written, or do you need a minute to finalize?
Oh, please, no. We don't need to write. We need to bask in the glory of Jalen Brunson, who does not get enough respect league-wide.
He's one of the few guys that my kid, 5.5, knows just by looking at their face. It's him, Dame, Giannis, and I think Jason Tatum. Oh, Steph Curry. So Jalen Brunson somehow worked his way in there. So he's got respect in the Winkler household.
Well, that's one of the few, because all I heard was how Cade Cunningham is the best player in this series. And it's by far. It's not even close. So Cade Cunningham, so by far, he's the best player in this series. How the hell that Jalen Brunson, after what he's done now, not only with New York, but when he started in Dallas next to Luka, when they went to the Western Conference Finals, it was Brunson that was enormous for that team. And what he's done with the Knicks, putting up 30-plus points, 40 points, daggers left and right, you know, clutch player of the year, gets no respect. Why? Because he's 6'1", or you just don't believe what you're seeing?
40 points tonight, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, the big 3 at the end there. Maybe a, you know, I don't want to say star-making moment, but it certainly is nice when there's a guy that's being disrespected like that to have the signature now moment of this series, and you move on to a Boston team that has had your number. If you're the Knicks, actually every good team has had your number. Is there any sense of optimism that we can at least, you know, make this thing happen for New York?
You're getting me in a moment of triumph.
Yeah, I want you at your peak. That's why I'm asking you now and not in hour 4.
So now I have a slight...
Maybe I will ask you in hour 4. We'll see what happens.
I'm serious. A slight glimmer of hope, because I'm reminded of how much Jalen Brunson can put forth on his own back. I mean, it wasn't just the 3 that won it. The shot that he had, the Knicks were up 12 in the 4th, went down 7, and it was the shot that Brunson had on the baseline. I don't know if you saw it while you're on the air. He was able to contort 3 different ways, looked like he was going to turn it over, travel, stop, kept his dribble alive, and got that bucket to go. And the one before that was the foul that he drew on, I think it was Hardaway, where he was able to get the 3-point play. The Knicks were scuffling. They had nothing there. And Brunson willed them from down 7 to get it back, to be able to get the shot, the 3, to get it over the top. He's the only reason there's a slight glimmer of hope, because the Knicks don't match up with the Celtics at all. The Knicks have to work really, really hard to get the shot that they want. And they're talented offensively. This is the most talented offensive Knicks team in my lifetime. And that goes back away. I'm old. Granted, they've always been offensively challenged. Not the point. The Knicks have to work for it. The Celtics don't. They have wave after wave after wave. And as good as the Knicks have been defensively at times, they still struggle. Cat really brings them down defensively. But the Celtics can get any shot that they want at any time. And the Knicks have to work really, really hard to keep up with that. So I don't think the matchup is good. I don't expect them to put up much of a fight. I do expect the Celtics to move on in five. But the glimmer of hope at the top of the mountain of triumph. Now I have a slight hope that Brunson can put up a couple of 50-point nights and the Knicks can actually surprise them.
Go New York, go New York, go! Go New York, go New York, go!
Five.
Bart, I'm telling you, this, they don't match with them at all. They really, really don't. It's not even a little. They really, really don't match up with them.
Number five. Yeah.
I'll go Celtics in six.
The only reason...
Number six.
Part of that, and look, the Celtics... I wanted the Knicks to face the Celtics last year. Two reasons. One, the Knicks were different last year. They were more gritty, tough, defensive-minded. They were more of the little engine that could. They didn't have as many pieces, especially with Randall being gone in the playoffs. But they were tough, they were gritty, and the Celtics hadn't learned how to win yet. So I felt like they were soft, and they were still a team that could give it away. They tried to against the Pacers. Pacers didn't know how to put them away. And the Celtics figured out how to win, and then they get their title. This is more difficult. The Knicks are not as tough. They're not as gritty. And the Celtics know how to finish. They're not the most, I don't know, mentally tough team. The Celtics like to give you games, so that goes in the Knicks' favor. But when push comes to shove, I mean, whether it's Pritchard or Brown or Tatum or Porzingis, like, they got guys that can shoot white everywhere, all over the floor, and I don't think the Knicks can keep up with them.
I want to change the subject for a minute because you mentioned that you're old, and I had one of the most old moments of my life today, if I may share with you.
Oh, please. I actually had one today myself, but I don't know if I could share it completely, but go ahead.
It's not PG or what?
Half of it is. Go ahead. You can tell me.
So I went to a movie today, and at one point during the movie, I had to leave to go urinate. Oh, did I say one point? I actually had to do it twice.
All right, if it's more than once in the movie, I'm pretty sure you didn't watch,
2-hour movie.
Yeah, and so Once Upon a Time in America, which is like 4 hours.
Yeah, it was not the Ten Commandments here. It's just a 2-hour Marvel flick. I had to go pee twice.
So I would ask you how the movie is, but did you watch any of it?
I was with my brother, and I go, I don't want to miss any. He's like, well, then don't pee. I said, well, I have to. I go, well, what if I FaceTime you, and then you can show me while... He's like, just run to the bathroom. So I ran to the bathroom.
You don't want to use the popcorn bucket a little too much?
Yeah, I mean, I had a good spot. I was up in the top. I go up in the top, so I could have probably done it, but...
Ew!
Yeah. Yours is not shareable?
To a point. I'll get rid of most of it. I had to jump out of bed with the worst calf cramp that I've had in probably 6 months. Now, granted, because I have them way too often, apparently I need to drink more water. But I have cramping issues when I'm laying in bed, which is not good.
Whoa.
Not a good sign. That's old man, and that's fat.
Sleeping, or?
I was up for a few minutes.
Okay.
Not for very long, but for a few minutes I was awake. And then
okay.
The calf happened, and...
Dear God. Is it what I think it is? Is this what I think it is?
Let me put it this way. See, I don't even know if I guess I could say it. I almost broke my wife's nose jumping out of bed as quick as I did.
Wow.
All right.
Yeah.
So a very whirlwind day for you, I see.
But we're at the top of the mountain now, Bart.
Okay. Yes.
All right. There we go. Well, I'm glad I brought it up. I'm glad I somehow extracted that information out of you for a nation to hear. 888-710-4ISN. The Knicks are moving on. We've got the Bulletin Blitz. We've got the Bartometer. You've got this update. It's Marco Belletti.
The biggest moments in the games.
Miami running around, circling. Oh, look out! Gronkowski didn't have the angle. Touchdown! Kenyon Drake, a miracle!
The biggest voices in sports.
They crowned their ass, but they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
The heartbreak.
Lynch in the backfield. Russell looks, throws inside. Oh, my God! It's picked off at the goal line. It's picked off by Gus Butler. Intended for Lockett at the goal line. Oh, my word.
The celebrations.
Driving forward. Diving to the goal line. A touchdown! And a title for the Patriots!
I can't believe it! I can't believe it!
They have completed the greatest comeback in Super Bowl history!
Look at Brady! One more ring!
It's the audio of the day. It's the Bulletin Blitz.
Yeah, it's the Bulletin Blitz here on the Bart Winkler Show, Coast to Coast, Infinity Sports Network. It is Thursday, May 1st, 2025. You thought I was going to say April. So many cuts, so little time. Bart, let's start with the Rockets and Warriors. Houston forces a game six by beating Golden State 131-116 last night. Let's hear from Steve Kerr. He says the Warriors got exactly what they deserved.
Young team, you know, on their home floor, trying to stay alive. They came out and threw haymakers at us. They made every shot in the first quarter. So we got what we deserved.
Yeah, I wish I would have been able to see the guys come back in. The bench brought them back to, I want to say, within 12 or so. They made it competitive again when and it wasn't. But I don't know. Then they probably did the right decision, keep them fresh. Plus, it's not like these guys are young. So they've got a game tomorrow on their home court, 9 o'clock Eastern, just the one game. If they don't win, I think this is a case of if the Warriors win, clearly they win the series. But if they don't win, then I'm going to favor Houston in game seven, and that would mean the Warriors are setting themselves up to blow a 3-1 lead again, which they, of course, did to the Cavs in the NBA Finals all those years ago. So I think the pressure is weirdly even more on because they've been in this spot before.
Yeah, albeit that one was at a bigger stage. But Dylan Brooks, this is turning into like the Dylan Brooks series. Obviously, he poked the bear with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler goes off in their previous game, and the Warriors win that one. But, well, this one, he added 24 points. All five Houston starters scored in double figures. But one of the things that Dylan Brooks was doing was he was aiming for Steph Curry's thumb on his shooting hand, really trying to take Curry out. Dylan Brooks, he admitted as much.
No, I've been playing the game. If you're going to come play the game injured or whenever you got, it's all about the game. You know, if I had an injured ankle, I would attack that ankle every single time. So, whatever they're saying on the broadcast, they can keep saying it.
This is something I would like to explore at some point more in depth. Because I don't know. I feel like I feel like there is a crowd of people that act self-righteous when they're lying. Like, do you know what I'm trying to not say?
Yeah, well, let me give you the other side of that. I have zero problem with this whatsoever. I'll be honest, I find Dylan
But then there's going to be people that say, you shouldn't root for guys to get injured or you shouldn't root for guys to attack injury. And I think everybody that makes a big deal out of saying that is lying.
Yeah, I'm not holier than thou. I actually commend him. I think Dylan Brooks is a jerk. I think he's a putz. You know, he does a lot of things that blow back in his face, i.e. Game five. So, or game four, rather. So, you know, he deserves what he gets as well. But I applaud this. I like the transparency, and this is smart. They say attack your weaknesses for a reason, and Steph Curry's hurt. Listen, you're out there, you're fair game. I don't want to see him punching and swatting at it, but like, hey, if he can make some contact within the realms of the rules, I'm totally fine with it.
It's like when we watch wrestling, they're always like, oh, he's attacking his bad knee, and we're like, oh, that's such a smart move.
Yeah.
And then in basketball, if he's like, oh, his thumb's hurt, Dylan Brooks is supposed to just, what, not try hard on him?
Right,
I don't know.
Yeah, like, don't stand and don't play defense. You know, he'll miss
the
shots on his
wrestling,
own.
I know wrestling, yeah, I could, you know, I get it, but also, come on.
It's smart in wrestling and it's smart in basketball. Good for Dylan Brooks. All right, let's get one more in here. The other series that ended Los Angeles, they're going home. Cancun on five, everybody. Well, Rudy Gobert was the star of the game, really, of the series. The Lakers have no answer from them. Remember, Rudy Gobert, he was traded for essentially 5 first-round picks, and everybody clowned that move. Well, Chris Finch says, hey, Gobert is a winning player here.
Rudy's a winner at the highest level. He drives winning. You can not like who he is, how he does it, what he looks like, etc. I mean, when you have this guy on your team, you understand what a professional and a winner is. And, you know, he's just such a competitor as well. And he doesn't listen to the outside noise. We don't listen to the outside noise. And no one's happier for Rudy than his teammates right now, particularly Anthony. Let everybody out there on the floor know that it was Rudy's night and nobody was around to stop him.
I mean, that many first-round picks is still clearly too much for Rudy Gobert. But it is working, and if the Timberwolves are going to win a championship, you can bet that Rudy Gobert is a big part of that. So then we'll not say anything once it happens. But that's a lot. That's a big trade. That is the Bulletin Blitz. We've got the Bartometer coming up. What have been the most shocking NFL draft moments of the last 40 years? The Bartometer's here. It's ready to get to work. We'll fire it up next on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.